This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. And of course, we're going to get into this. Don't worry, it will be kid friendly. I promise we'll get into the dark stuff that's been happening inside the U.S. intelligence community. And like I said, it'll be safe for kids. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about communists in control. Trump had a lot of things to say today about the Ukraine stuff, all that, so much more. We'll get to some emails, other things coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But it is Monday. Everyone knows. One thing happens to start a second hour every single Monday, and that is Medal of Honor Monday. We take a citation. Every time you earn a Medal of Honor, anytime someone does, they do a write-up on it. And we just read it. That's it. We honor the men. We honor the deeds. We hold these men up in front of the next generation and say, look, that's what you need to be. And as I've told you before, I want to encourage you that you can do this and should. With your family, with your school. There's nothing political about this. Are you one of the good teachers who listen to the show? Your class could do projects on these guys. They'd love it. I might point out they'll love it. Men and women, they love this stuff. Who doesn't love heroism? Heroes. Everybody does. It's important. These names, we don't know these names. You know, we know the name of all the dirt balls on TV and everything. We don't know these names. We should all know these names. So we also take email suggestions. Remember, you can email us. We love your emails. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions, of course, and Medal of Honor suggestions. This one said, Medal of Honor nominee Alfred V. Rascone, Specialist 4, U.S. Army, Vietnam. Guy should have died and is probably still carrying shrapnel. One tough hombre. Wow, that's quite an endorsement from somebody. So let's walk through this and find out what Mr. Rascone went through on behalf of this country. Right. Oh, almost forgot. I'm supposed to do birthplace now. Alfred V. Rascone, who later became an American citizen, I might point out, was actually not born in America. He was born in Chihuahua, Mexico. And part of the reason I'm reading this is, yes, his heroism, but I also wanted the opportunity to say Chihuahua on the radio.
Ready, aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
Specialist 4 Alfred Rascone distinguished himself by a series of extraordinarily courageous actions on the 16th of March, 1966, while assigned as a medic to the Reconnaissance Platoon, Headquarters Company, 1st Battalion, 503rd Division, 173rd Airborne Brigade, while moving to reinforce its sister battalion under intense enemy attack. The reconnaissance platoon came under heavy fire from a numerically superior enemy force. The intense enemy fire from crew-served weapons and grenades severely wounded several point squad soldiers. Specialist Rascone, ignoring directions to stay behind shelter until covering fire could be provided, made his way forward. He repeatedly tried to reach the severely wounded point machine gunner laying on an open enemy trail, but was driven back each time by the withering fire. Disregarding his personal safety, he jumped to his feet, ignoring flying bullets and exploding grenades to reach his comrade. To protect him from further wounds, he intentionally placed his body between the soldier and enemy machine guns, sustaining numerous shrapnel injuries and a serious wound to the hip.
Disregarding his serious wounds, he dragged the larger soldier from the fire-raked trail. Hearing the second machine gunner yell that he was running out of ammunition, Specialist Rascon, under heavy enemy fire, crawled back to the wounded machine gunner, stripping him of his bandoliers of ammunition, giving them to the machine gunner, who continued his suppressive fire. Quick pause. Sorry about that. The wounded machine gunner wasn't wounded anymore. He was dead. He had to crawl back to his dead body and take his ammo off him. Anyway. Specialist Rascon, under heavy, crawled back to the guy. Specialist Rascon, fearing the abandoned machine gun, its ammunition, and spare barrel could fall into enemy hands, made his way to retrieve them. On the way, he was wounded in the face and torso by grenade fragments, but disregarded these wounds to recover the abandoned machine gun, ammunition, and spare barrel items, enabling another soldier to provide added suppressive fire to the pinned-down squad. In searching for the wounded, he saw the Point Grenadier being wounded by small arms fire and grenades being thrown at him. Disregarding his own life and his numerous wounds, Specialist Rascon reached and covered him with his body, absorbing the blast from exploding grenades and saving the soldier's life, but sustaining additional wounds to his body. While making his way to the wounded Point squad leader, grenades were hurled at the sergeant. Again, in complete disregard for his own life, I just can't believe this guy's still alive, he reached and covered the sergeant with his body, absorbing the full force of the grenade explosions. Once more, Specialist Rascon was critically wounded by shrapnel, but disregarding his own wounds to continue to search and aid the wounded. Severely wounded, he remained on the battlefield, inspiring his fellow soldiers to continue the battle. After the enemy broke contact, he disregarded aid for himself, instead treating the wounded and directing their evacuation. Only after being placed on the evacuation helicopter did he allow aid to be given to him. Specialist Rascon's extraordinary valor in the face of deadly enemy fire, his heroism in rescuing the wounded, and his gallantry by repeatedly risking his life for his own fellow soldiers are in keeping with the highest tradition of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. And I'll give you just a couple little tidbits about that that I thought were really, really cool. Just a couple little details surrounding it. First, Alfred Wolverine was somehow still alive after all that shrapnel and bullets and things like that, but you can imagine his physical condition. His physical condition was such that they gave him his last rites. They said, well, he's going to die. Let's go ahead and make sure you can go be with Jesus, Alfred. There's no way you're living through that. But he did. He lived through that. And you know how we talk all the time about these medals of honor and how there are all kinds of dead guys who never came home who are as brave, and there are all kinds of the lower medals. I hate to say that, but the lower medals, you read some of those citations and you say to yourself, how in the world did that guy not get a medal of honor? Well, Alfred Rascon did not get a medal of honor either for this initially. He got a silver star, which, look, that's no chump, right? You get a silver star, you did something ridiculous, and there's a lot of silver star guys who are dead, right? That you're amazing. But he got a silver star, okay? Gets a silver star. He goes, he recovers from his wounds in Japan. He ends up actually getting back into the military as a reservist, as an advisor in Vietnam, has this kind of, you know, long career, works with the DEA in Panama, does a bunch of cool stuff. Just a cool dude, just a cool friggin' dude. He ends up having a reunion with his unit. He gets with his unit. This is after years and years and years. And his guys, at least two of the guys he saved, saw that he had only a silver star, and they were mortified because they were there that day. And they said, excuse me? A silver star? They decided to start pushing and pressing and pushing and pressing. They got their congressman to start pushing and pressing and pushing and pressing. Finally, their congressman got in Bill Clinton's ear. This is under Bill Clinton there, so that tells you how much lag time there was. Hey, Mr. President, read the citation. Dude, Silver Star, come on now. Bill Clinton, to his credit, was the one who read it and relented and said, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and give him the old upgrade, shall we? Now, He's a Medal of Honor recipient. How about that? And one final word on this. Maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't, that it was the point man who got killed. It was the point man who got gunned down immediately. Just Vietnam guys are so worthy of your respect. Walking point is always dangerous. It's always dangerous being the guy in front. Sorry. If you're in point, you're in the front. In Vietnam, they rotated them out a lot because it was a death sentence to be up there too long. After all, who's going to get shot first? Who's going to step on the landmine they put in the trail? Who's going to... The point man. It was a very dangerous job. Very, very dangerous war. Very terrible war. And the heroes of that war deserve to be honored. And Mr. Rascone, props to you. All right. I'm going to get to the icky stuff with the intelligence community in a moment. And like I said, I'll be very, very careful. And it will be, as always, family-friendly. That is a little bit of ugliness we have to discuss. I'll tell you something. I remember like it was yesterday, the first time I went hunting with my dad for bigger game. Antelope isn't big, but it was the first time I'd been hunting without rabbits or squirrels, things like that. This was the first time I'd hunted bigger game, first time I got one. I still have the picture of me and my old man and my first antelope. But it, you see, it's not a digital picture because this is before the cell phone era. It's just a Polaroid is all it is. What Legacy Box does, it's more than digitizing pictures, you know, digitizing VHS tapes or whatnot. It's taking every memory that's on that camcorder tape, that's on that hard picture, and it is preserving it forever. It'll outlive you. What they do at Legacy Box is amazing. And if I may suggest something, buy one for your parents. Not yourself. Buy a Legacy Box for your parents. Send it to them. Have them put those pictures in there so you can have them on your phone, on your computer forever. They'll digitize it all for you. Half off right now. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can go to iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, subscribe, leave us a review discussing how big my hands are, so on and so forth. Before I get to the icky intelligence stuff, I just want to say that there are things you don't fully appreciate when you're young. I'm the same way. I was the same way. I admit that. There are things you don't fully appreciate when you're young. Getting a haircut was always boring as a young boy. Sucked. I don't want to go get my hair cut. Why do I have to get my hair cut? But you know how dad was. I am not raising a hippie, all that stuff. So the hair had to be trimmed short. But you know what never, ever, ever happened to me when I was young? Ever. And it happened to me, what time is it now? About 4 or 5 hours ago, it happened to me as I sat in the barber's chair today. Getting my hair cut, which I realize. Look, I don't need your comments, okay? I realize me getting a haircut is easy. All right, it was buzzed down, whatever. I get this. Looks at me, takes the clippers off my head, looks at me and says, oh, I didn't know exactly what that meant. Walks over, grabs a pair of tweezers, reaches down, and plucks a hair off the end of my nose. I'm not talking about the nostrils and the standard, you know, old man nostril hair. No. I mean, like the pointy tip. Just reaches down, grabs it, just rips it out of there. That never happens to you when you're young. What, Chris? What? Could I not see it? Well, I wasn't looking there, Chris. I'm sorry. I understand it's in the middle of my face. It's not like it was 2 feet long, okay? It was little, and you know my eyes aren't exactly what they need to be, and I don't like to wear glasses because it makes me feel nerdy. Why do you have to drag me down when I'm exposing personal things about myself here? I'm tired of going to the barber and then saying, you want me to do your eyebrows? No, I don't need you to do my eyebrows. What, Chris? Why don't I just cut my hair at home? They don't know how to style it. Hey, all right, headline. You know what? I can't even read the headline because this is such a disgusting story and there are kids listening. So I'm going to do it this way. The article is in the City Journal, if you want to go look it up. It's Christopher Rufo's reporting, so I definitely don't want to take credit for it, and it's outstanding reporting. But I'll give you the boiled down PG version of it. The NSA. You know, the NSA, the ones who gather all the information out there in cyberspace. It's a critical intelligence arm of the country. A bunch of intelligence officials at the NSA have had an online chat room. And in this chat room, gosh, this is difficult. I really can't give you any details of the story and make it kid-friendly. In this chat room, they discuss some of the most disgusting, degenerate, sexual things you've ever heard in your life. Tranny stuff doesn't even begin to describe the kind of stuff I'm looking at. And I have the direct quotes, which I'm not going to read any of them for you here. I'm so grossed out. It's taking everything in me not to vomit during the middle of this radio segment. My point in pointing out this article and the wonderful research is not to do all the gross, perverted stuff. I'm really, really not doing that.
Why are you gay?
My point in all this is these are the people who not only keep our secrets, they seek out the secrets of others, of enemies of the state. That's really the point in the National Security Agency. Finding the secrets of others. Get that stuff online. How much blackmail material do you think our mortal enemies have on the intelligence officers who work inside of America's intelligence community if this kind of thing is so prevalent that it was easily discovered and now there's an article about it, a publicized article about it? This is the one we know about. Remember, Every time you see something like this, you should say to yourself, okay, that's what I know. How much don't I know? This is the one we know about. And this is the real true danger of filling up your government with a bunch of dirty, degenerate communists. When you do that, I know exactly why they do it. They do it because these people are most likely to be the most loyal foot soldiers there are in the cause of the revolution. I get it. But when you fill up your government with these degenerate freaks, what you hand is your enemy the ultimate tool he needs to compromise your national security apparatus. How many of these emails, text, pictures, imagine what's out there on these guys. How many would China need to go show one of these guys and say, hey, I can send these pictures to your mom, or you can tell me what America knows about our nuclear operation? Are we getting yet how deep the rot goes? And on that note, I want to talk about the government recruitment of these degenerate freaks, and then we'll do some email. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Okay, you know what? Speaking of no more Mr. Nice Guy, before I read the emails, I need an opinion. Chris, Corey, I guess I'll rely on you two idiots. Was I being rude when this happened? In fact, maybe this will just become a new segment. Was Jesse being rude? Because I don't feel like I was being rude. No, Chris, don't say yes before I even tell you the story. You don't even know what I'm talking about. So here's what happened. You know I've encouraged you before, if you're looking to save money, to buy a steer and have it butchered. You don't have to look at it. Don't worry. You can go to butchers. You can go to places like that and say, I want to buy a steer. And then you always have a fridge full of beef. If you're thinking that's too much money, I would agree. We generally split one with another family or two. You can do that. You, two, three families, split up a steer. You always have a freezer full of burger. You have a freezer full of steaks. If you have boys especially, if you eat a lot of beef, it's a great way to save some money, get some quality beef in there. Don't roll your eyes, Chris, okay? Anyway, we always do this. We always try to have a freezer full of beef. When we run out, we go try to find, well, I have friends I do it with. We split a steer, making sure we have some beef in the freezer. Now, I had done this recently, and this is the first time. It was awful. It was just, look, it happens. I am not going to pretend to be a rancher or a beef expert. There are plenty who listen, so I'm sure I'll get a lecture on how this works, and I'll welcome it, actually, but this one was awful. The meat was unspeakably bad, and you know, I don't exactly need Japanese Wagyu to be happy. I've had steak and eggs at Waffle House more times than I can count. Chris, it was so tough, like you couldn't eat it. We're stuck doing things, marinating it for 2-3 days, pounding it, just pounding it out for chicken fried steaks. Virtually all steak is okay if you just, you know, give it a good pounding, but not this stuff. It's like beef jerky. It's almost like this thing had some sort of a disease. It's bad. We should have just burgered the whole thing. In fact, now that I bring it up, everything we have that's not burger, we're taking back and we're just telling them, just burger it. Just burger the whole thing. We'll make hamburger helper with it. So it was that bad. On Saturday night, I go out to dinner with Aub. We get back from dinner. Bunch of neighbor friends of ours say, hey, why don't you come over? We'll play some cards. You know, come over. We'll hang out for a little bit. Yeah, sure. We're not doing anything. Let's go over. So there's a few of us over there. And the ones who are over there are the ones who split the steer. Now, I didn't know, because I went through my one buddy to split the steer, I actually didn't know that in buying this particular steer, we were helping a young man with a scholarship. Okay, don't think that I'm a nice guy or charitable. I didn't even know when I bought the steer. I found out on Saturday night, okay? But we found out, that steer, glad you got the steer. It helped this young man out with a scholarship. So I said, well, as bad as it was, he better not turn out to be a dirtball. The look on Chris's face is exactly the look everyone in the party had right now. I don't think that's that rude. I thought that's a very, what, Chris, what? Chris said, that's fine if you know he's not in the room with me. No, there were no kids. There were no adults. He was not there. That's exactly what I said. What's the problem? I got the, geez, Jesse. Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with that? I was hoping, look, if I have to eat bad meat, I hope he earns it is all I'm saying. What, Chris? Were any of them related to the kid? I don't know. I actually never asked who this scholarship was for. What? Well, it's true. I don't care if they were related. He better not turn out to be a dirtball. Whoever it is, I don't care if it's your son. If I have to eat an entire freezer full of meat that sucks that bad, that kid better go on to cure cancer or something like that, as bad as the beef is. Drop like $300 on that. Jesse, is this common sense? Make our European allies mad and suck up to a murdering tyrant, Putin. Okay. All right, I guess we'll do some Russia-Ukraine talk. Make our European allies mad. In fact, you said longtime European allies and suck up to a murdering tyrant, Putin. All right. So, a couple questions. I'm actually not going to be rude at all because this is a good mental experiment to go through here. You call them our longtime European allies. Let's say I was in the Marine Corps with a buddy. And let's say we fought in Iraq together. We were in combat together, tough times together. Oh, the blood and guts and misery. And he looked out for me, and I looked out for him. And that was good. And then we get back from Iraq and we both get out of the Marine Corps. And let's say he starts to lose his way, lose his mind. Let's say one day I find out he's stolen my debit card and he bought himself $500 worth of beef with it. Let's hope the meat was higher quality. Let's say he borrowed my car, put two flat tires on it, brought it back. Let's say he hit on my wife. Let's say he drives by my house and throws trash in the lawn. This goes on for 20, 30 years. Is he still my ally? Because we did great things together once. Is there no expiration date on that? I want to focus on this for a moment. Long-time European allies. Length and quality are two very, very different things. Chris, grow up. Length and quality are two very, very different things. Why are they our allies? If you could put that into words right now. I'm really asking. I want you to think about this. Yes. No. Stop. Now, let me stop you. Every question I ask during this discussion, there's a rule. I have a rule for it. You can't make it about World War II. That's the only rule. That's all I'm asking. No World War II. The 40s are gone. No World War II. So let me ask you again. Our longtime European allies. Why is Germany our ally right now? UK. Why are they our ally right now? France. Brussels. Anyone? What are they providing for us right now? Are they still what they were? Longtime European allies, who currently arrest their citizens for the most basic free speech in the world. Longtime European allies who routinely publicly condemn us, come out against us. We provide all of the national defense for Europe. All of the national defense. Let me ask you, after, let's pick your national disaster, North Carolina, after Hurricane Helen, tell me how many German groups came into North Carolina to help the good people. Hawaii, hey, Germans love Hawaii. How many people after that Lahaina fire, how many people from the UK, how many members of the UK government came out to help us? How many? I'm tired of being told longtime allies from people who haven't been allies in ages. Stop. Hitler's gone. I swear on my life he's dead. Hitler is gone. I want to know why they're considered longtime allies. Let's just start there. And then, you know what? Now that we'll set that aside, let's discuss the Putin aspect of this, who actually I don't like at all. But let's discuss this in a frank way. Before we discuss that, we had a little family dust up on Saturday during the day. I decided I wanted to watch a family movie. I wanted it to be educational. So I suggested we watch Shooter. The boys were all about it. Ob thought maybe that wasn't as educational as it should have been. Then I tried to move on. And I said, well, okay, if we can't watch Shooter, let's watch We Were Soldiers. Again, some pushback from people in the house. We decided to do something different as a family. We decided to do the courses from Hillsdale. One of them, actually the Roman Republic course. We decided to do it as a family. Does that sound boring? Well, one, it was free. What I'm telling you about is free. Two, we laughed. We enjoyed it. It was interesting. My boys, my two teenage sons were riveted. So was I. So was my wife, who doesn't even like that stuff. Hillsdale is giving us free education. More than 40 free online courses. Free. What I'm telling you about is no cost. Do it as a family. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go nerd out for free. It's better than TV. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos.
Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, answering an email, and I guess we're just going to go ahead and deal with some of this Russia-Ukrainian update stuff, because the guy said, I'm not insulting the guy who wrote the email, so don't think that I am. He said, is it common sense we're making angry our longtime European allies, and I just shot that down a little bit, to suck up to a murdering tyrant Putin? Suck up to a murdering tyrant Putin. Again, allow me to ask, which part of the peace deal is sucking up to Putin? Which part? If you could point to it specifically, tell me, which part of the Ukraine-Russia peace deal do you consider to be sucking up to Putin? The reason I don't have to wait for your answer is there's no peace deal. There is no peace deal. None. It is not a thing that exists. What exists are the start of negotiations. We cannot have a Ukrainian-Russian peace deal without the consent of all parties involved. Ukraine has to consent. Russia, because they actually have the most leverage because they hold the Ukrainian territory, they have to consent. They have to consent. I don't understand this childlike view of the world. We need everyone's consent to come to a peace deal agreement. They have fought a vicious meat grinder, bloody war for 3 years. Have you seen, I think it's in Kyiv. I'm almost positive it's in Kyiv. Why do I want to still call it Kiev? It sounds so much better. Anyway, I think it's in Kyiv. Have you seen the memorial they have set up with flags for the dead Ukrainian soldiers? It looks like you could fill up 10 football fields with it. Every flag represents a Ukrainian man that will not be a father. He is no longer anybody's son. He's vapor now. Butchery. Same thing on the Russian side. They've fought for 3 years. Do you want it to end? Well, yeah, but with Putin's defeat. Okay, I give you that. I hate Vladimir Putin. I hate all tyrants. It is my rule, in case you're going to email me and try to defend Putin, I hate any leader who denies his people the electoral process. If you try to arrest your political opponents, I hate you. That applies to Vladimir Putin. It applies to Zelensky, who did the exact same thing. It applies to Joe Biden, who did the exact same thing. If you have your political opponent arrested, you are a tyrant and a scumbag. So I hate Vladimir Putin. Okay, you hate Vladimir Putin. We can't give in! Okay, who's we? Because you're not fighting. Ukraine can't give in. So let's be honest. You're being brave with Ukrainian blood. You're being brave with Ukrainian blood because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel virtuous. We can't give in. All right. It's been 3 years. Despite all the equipment, all the money, Russia is still there. Ukraine has been unable to get them out. Can you give me some idea how long this should go on? Anything? As long as it takes. Really? With someone else's life? Someone else? I mean, can't we come to an agreement? Can't you and I at least come to an agreement that this does have to end at some point? It does. That's how wars go. It ends at some point. Doesn't always end the way you want or the way I want. So back to this sucking up to a murdering tyrant Putin. These are negotiations. Trump's sounding hopeful.
I think the war could end soon.
Well, how soon?
Within weeks.
Weeks?
Yeah, I think so. Right? Don't you think so? I'd like to ask, have you? I think we could end it within weeks if we're smart. If we're not.
He's not just talking to Putin. Again, that's a media lie. He's talking to Zelensky.
I will be meeting with President Zelensky. In fact, he may come in this week or next week to sign the agreement, and which would be nice. I'd love to meet him. We'd meet at the Oval Office. So the agreement's being worked on now. They're very close to a final deal. It'll be a deal with rare earths and various other things. And he would like to come, as I understand it, here to sign it. And that would be great with me.
Well, he can't talk to Putin.
I think getting very close to getting an agreement where we get our money back over a period of time.
What if we even get our money back? Oh, but by the way, along the Putin lines.
I think once you have a ceasefire, it's going to end, because they're not going from a ceasefire back to war. I think people have had their full. I'm just glad I was able to help, because there was no communication with Russia until I came along. Biden didn't communicate. He couldn't communicate with his own child. So Biden didn't communicate. He couldn't. It was terrible. He hadn't spoken to Putin in 3 years. You're trying to end a war. People are being killed. Every week, thousands of people are being killed. Soldiers, in this case, mostly. Also towns, you know, as missiles go in.
Well, he shouldn't talk to Putin. Putin's the enemy. Do you have any idea how often American presidents spoke to the Soviet leader during the Cold War? During the height of the Cold War? It's famous. There was a phone, a direct line between the Oval Office and the Soviet Oval Office. Well, their version of it. A direct line. President can pick it up anytime. Leaders, even ones we are at war with, speak to each other, because that's how you bring about an end to it. 3 years of carnage. Yeah, Chris said we did it in Vietnam. Of course we did. We did it in Vietnam. World War II. But we spoke to Hitler. We spoke to Hitler. We spoke to Hirohito. These are things you do during war, trying to bring about an end to the war. In this modern America, where really what's happened is history has been so dumbed down. It's not only been dumbed down, it's been turned into a religion. World War II, most definitely. They dumbed it down. They teach people like two bullet points. Then they turn it into a religion. And now everybody thinks that every Ukrainian on the planet should die in service to, I don't know what. Defeating Putin. That's crazy. Stop. Let's wrap it up. All right. I want to talk about communists and their love of control. We'll make fun of Joy Reid. I first want to talk to you about finding the right employee. You talk to a manager today. You talk to a business owner, any employer out there. It is complaint number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They can't find good people. Jesse, I can't find good people. I've tried. I can't get people to show up. Most employers, they tell me they can't even get people to show up for an interview. How crazy is that? People don't even show up for the interview. ZipRecruiter. That's your solution. Your solution's right there. Your solution's instant. You realize we're about to go to break here. By the time I come back on the air, start of the next hour, you might already be looking at a good candidate. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a good one the first day. And you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. During the break, you might find the next one you're looking for. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right. Communism and censorship next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.